We're doing Sidra Kabbalah. We're up to page 131 in the Machon Ofik edition, page Pei Aleph in the Mosad Harav Kook edition. V'chen nitchaber chibur kolel b'derech psak, and also there was composed a work that's encompassing and gives halachic ruling la'arav ha'gadol Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai al Bar Tziloni berov nyanei ha'talmud. Rabbi Yehuda al Bar Tziloni wrote about most of the Talmud. Arucha me'eretz midata v'rechava min hayam, and his work is all encompassing. It's an exceptionally long and encompassing work. V'sof lechol hachiburim ha'ele, and that is the final work in this class. Ratzoni lomar shenitchabu derech psak. That's the final work among these works that were written as works of bottom line halacha. Sefer HaRav HaGadol Ner Ma'aravi Edut L'chol HaOlam HaRav Rabbeinu Moshe Zal. The final work is the work that was written by the great rabbi, that western lamp, that testimony to the whole world, the Maimonides. Hodiya Piskei Kol HaTalmud, he made known the halachic ruling of all of Talmud, Derech Ktzara V'Derech Kabbalah. He said it both in a way that is short, and also in a way that's bottom line, with tradition, b'sidur ne'emod. He organized it in a fantastic fashion, in k'tzat tzmach ma'yerushalmi v'atosefta, with some support from the Jerusalem Talmud and the Tosefta, k'mo sh'nodav nitpasem, as is well known. So these were the halachic works, the works he quoted until now. V'rosh l'chol l'chiburim sh'nitchabru derech perush, and the head of all works that were written as commentaries, as interpretations of Talmud, v'hem perush Rashi zal, that is the commentary, the interpretation, the explanation of Rashi. V'im rabu alochamim alav, and although we find many who argue with Rashi, throughout the Rishonim, you find the commentaries are arguing with him, klei zeino alav, he is wearing his armor upon him, he is wearing his weapons, v'tshuvato mitoch dvarav. And if you learn his words well, you see from within his words that he's answered all his detractors. As much as the other Rishonim argue with him, and that's always the case, the first commentary is always the one that everyone else argues upon. But you read his work well, you see that within his work he has really answered the claims others make against him. Kulam nechochim lamevin. You'll find them all to be fit if you have true understanding. But Rashi's work, you have to be singular, you have to be an exceptional person to see how great it is. Because sometimes in one word, Rashi answers multitudes of questions. But Rashi's intent was not halachic. Now, I have a tradition that's true for all of Shas except for Tractate Chulin. The tradition I have from Rav Pesin Zatzal that he had from his father-in-law that goes back to Brisker tradition, that Rashi's commentary on Chulin is different than his commentary on the rest of Shas, that in Tractate Chulin he is coming to Paskin. But the Meiri doesn't say that. The Meiri says Rashi's intent is not Psak. And this line of the Meiri can be well understood according to Amar Shah. The Marsha says that although we find that Rashi's commentary in different tractates sometimes contradicts itself, Rashi's intent was to always give us the pshat in the Gemara. And sometimes the Gemaras don't always agree with one another. And it didn't bother Rashi to give two conflicting understandings in the Gemara, because the Gemara in two places doesn't necessarily agree with one another. And two tractates can disagree with one another. So Rashi stuck to pshat, he's not paskening. So he doesn't have to be consistent, because pshat and the Gemara can really be contradictory. Two different tractates can have two different interpretations of the same quote, even though they're both quoting the same braisa.
So
yes.
Goes with the flow of Talmud, in a certain way.
Okay.
So why is it different by Chulin?
What?
Why is it different by Chulin for Rashi?
Why did Rashi choose to do it differently, is your question?
How do we know that he chose to do it differently?
So I have a tradition that's so, but when you learn Rashi and Chulin, you'll see that his style is different. Once you've been exposed to this tradition, when you actually learn Chulin, you'll notice the difference.
So can we say that Meiri is saying that the others are wrong by saying that Rashi, everybody gave the answers before the questions were made?
I don't think you could say they're wrong. He's just saying that he wrote a fantastic work that speaks for itself. The Miri himself sometimes differs from Rashi. Obviously, he doesn't hold Rashi's right in everything he's saying. He's just saying Rashi is so great that he's defended himself within his work. You just have to really, really focus on every single word in Rashi.
So he backs everything.
But you have to learn it well. I mean, Rashi sometimes uses one word, like he said, and you got to sit on each word in Rashi. There isn't a superfluous letter in Rashi, let alone a word. And there's tremendous genius in Rashi. You just have to be on the level to see it. Rashi on Chumash, Rashi on Gemara too. I like showing how Rashi sometimes in one word answered up a whole long Tosas. You have it many times that Tosas goes through a whole long thing explaining questions and answers and back and forth and reaches the bottom line.
Even like Ketel Gumato and all this very short Rashi.
Oh yeah. You'll see Tosus and Talmud often quotes from Rashi and Torah, and you see how careful Tosus was when learning Rashi. Every letter got weight. Sure. Rav Moshe has a big psak in Hilchos Erevin that's based on one letter in Rashi. The way Rashi words one thing. Yeah. Genius. I mean, it's tremendous genius. Rashi on Tanakh, there's a pasuk where Rashi writes... they had a tradition called Masora, which was a work that enumerated all the places that certain grammatic form was used, all the places that you have all kinds of, it outlines on all of Tanakh. Where do you have all the places that you have this type of word? Where do you have two words that are worded as one, like Alamot, according to some commentaries, is two words as one. Almut, over the dead, according to some, Labain, according to some commentaries, is one word or two words. There are a lot of words in Tanakh that the commentaries discuss. Is it one word or two words? In this book, Masoret, it enumerates the psukim in Tanakh in which you find all of the aleph beis. That one pasuk has every letter of the aleph beis in it. So you have one place in Tanakh that Rashi writes, and this pasuk has all of the aleph beis in it. I don't know why it's not enumerated in the Masorah. As a pasuk that has all the aleph beis in it. So now you ask yourself, what was Rashi doing? Was he bored and he went through all of Tanakh looking for another pasuk? Or was he that type of genius that when he read every pasuk, he noticed whether it had all the aleph beis in it or not? And I vote for the latter. I don't think he was bored and he went through all of Tanakh looking at every pasuk, does it have all the aleph beis in it? But you see, Rashi suddenly just as a note. I don't know why this one's not mentioned in the Masorah. Okay, I don't even remember where that Rashi is. I've written down at home. But Rashi, that was Rashi's genius.
So it's Chumash?
No. It's in Nevi'im or Ksuvim. I think it's in Nevi'im. V'rosh l'kol ha'chibrim sh'nasa derech harkavat perush u'psak, and the head of all the commentaries, which is a combination of commentary and halachic ruling, hem perush harav ha'gadol ha'ravad zal, that's the commentary of the Ravid. We have the Ravid's commentary on Baba Kama and Avodah Zarah, but Rishonim mentioned that he wrote commentaries on other works, so he combined a commentary with halachic ruling in one work. Uperushe Rav ibn Megash Zal, and the commentary of the Rav ibn Megash, as we'll see. Uperushe Rav Rabbeinu Meir Alevi Mitulitula, and the commentary of Rabbi Meir Mitulitula, who also, we only have his commentary on Baba Basra and Sanhedrin. V'achem kama chiburim, and after them came other works, mehem klalim u'mehem pratim, some of them were encompassing of all of Shas, some of them were for specific masechtot. L'chachmei adorot asher lefaneinu, the sages of the previous generations, ben Arvona, uvedrash, umontef shlir, uBarcelona, vegirunda, Vigironda, Vigeter, Sivotehem, Utsofat, Ashkenaz, all these different cities in Spain and France and Germany. These works clarify all points that need clarification. Because their purpose was already different. We said the earlier generations didn't see a need to elucidate the Talmud. Everything was obvious to them. So you can't really glean much from their wisdom. They just wrote here and there a few short notes. The later generations realized how stupid we are. They realized how future generations just aren't going to get it. They're not going to be able to learn a piece of Talmud. So then you start having commentaries like Rashi that say, let me explain every word in Shas for you. And you have commentaries that spoon-feed things. So the rabbis came to the realization that people were not cutting it. They weren't making the grade. They weren't understanding the basics. So their purpose was already, their focus was to elucidate the Talmud for future generations, to help them in informing them of the things that would be hidden to them in Talmud, as we explained. And we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next week.
And then we have our scroll.